This is the station for the fans of the home teams. Pats and Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
Won't dig, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How you doing?
I like your shoes.
I like your shoes.
Nice going, baby. Nice going.
Good game, buddy.
Go, baby.
Yeah. Great win.
Good boy right there.
Yeah, I'm excited. I did a lot of losing last year. That's what I'm talking about.
Well done, man.
Way to go.
Okay, fellas, this way to suck it up on a short week, okay? It's good effort out there. Certainly not our best. We left some plays on the field, but made plenty to win. All right, more than they did.
Monday!
But for tonight, Thursday night, all blue, 500 totes for TV. I like it, man. How do we feel about a Thursday night win?
Play great, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, 617-779-0985. I didn't hear anything about this. I'm interested. Brody, go ahead.
Yes, Fred. You know, I woke up this morning, breaking Google News alert. Apparently, Shaggy Two-Dope stormed the stage at a massive Fred Durst concert over the weekend and tried to drop kick him in the head, missed, hit him in the body. And Fred Durst called him a slang word for the female anatomy.
I saw that. I actually saw the
boy.
Video.
The combined IQ about 7 on stage at that point. Now, was Fred Durst playing with the Biscuit or was he solo?
He was solo, and I don't know this crowd size because, you know, I only saw still images, but I'm assuming it was a raucous 30 people that were at the show.
Yes, I would imagine that. The Limp Bizkit. And then especially since Shaggy 2. Now, was Shaggy 2 dope in makeup?
No, he was not in makeup. He was, you could see all of his glorious calf tattoos, though, in his extra long shorts.
Oh, boy. Well,
nobody knew who he was.
Thank you for that info. I do appreciate it.
So there was some festival that apparently Limp Bizkit and Insane Clown Posse went to, which should be the just, everyone at this festival should be sterilized.
Yes,
and not be able to breed.
No one gets to drive home.
Right, that's right. So it was, I guess, earlier in the show, Insane Clown Posse had played, and I read way too much about this because I was fascinated.
When did this happen, and how did it get by me?
I think it was Saturday night, or it was sometime this weekend. It could have been Friday, it could have been Saturday night. Okay. But there's some bad blood within the band because, I guess, back in the day when the Bizkit had their Family Values tour or whatever, they had booked Insane Clown Posse to be on it, but I guess the last minute they said, "You suck, we don't want you." And so to get back at him, I thought he was with Limp Bizkit, but what the hell would I know? But he's on stage rapping, and at the end of one of the songs, this dude comes out from behind, like the stage, like behind the drum riser, and does the weakest karate kick you've ever seen, and his foot barely touched the back of Fred Durst. Like, almost like it was like someone just like tapped him on the back, and meanwhile, Shaggy Tudo falls on his back, and these security guys come out and escort him out, and nobody knows what the hell's happening. Even Fred Durst is like, who's this guy? Like, what's happening here?
So it was very similar to the UFC fight. The UFC fight.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, sure, except there was actual landing of punches at the UFC fight. But, yeah, it was did you see it?
Yeah.
It's the weakest attempt at a karate kick.
He missed and landed flat on his back. That was fantastic.
So what he was attempting to do was Fred Durst was right at the edge of the stage, and he was trying to kick him into the crowd.
He was trying to do it, but in the end, it was kind of half-hearted, and it really cost him.
He just
because it looked like he really hurt himself.
He didn't think this through too much, and he sucked so bad at karate, quote unquote, that he went and just like, and like fell on his back. And
there might have been some chemical.
It's great, Fred. It's pretty awesome.
Oh.
And then, of course, he turns around and just goes, what? You know, like, what's happened? And then he goes, yeah, one guy. All right, one guy tries to get. And nobody knows it's the dude from the Insane Clown Posse.
Because he doesn't have the makeup on.
I guess so. I don't know. But another shocking thing is they're playing in front of, like, what looks like 5,000 people. Like maybe a place the size of, I mean, it looks indoors.
It's John, called the Rock Allegiance Festival.
Of course,
New Jersey.
Of course, it's in New Jersey. Both of those, there's no surprise, the name or the place that they played. But I want to know who else is. Does Seether make that list?
I don't know.
Are they on there anywhere?
All I know is I think Fred Durst is rocking the Bo Jackson throwback jersey. Well, that's what it looks like.
Listen, I have a feeling where this is going. Jared, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was actually at the concert, and there was probably about 15,000 people. Whoa. It's a place that's like Mansfield. And yeah, sure enough, you got Shaggy 2 Dope come out of nowhere, try drop kicking Fred, and no one even knew what was going on. And pretty much he just started insulting him right away.
Who was insulting who?
Yeah.
Well, Fred realized that someone tapped him on the back because he looked like a dumbass trying to drop kick him. And he turned back and then saw it was somebody and said, actually, take it easy on him. He barely hit me. And like I said, it just exploded from there.
Okay, who's on the lineup for that show? Like, who's on the bill for the Rock Never Dies or whatever it's called?
Rock Allegiance.
Rock Allegiance. Well, it was supposed to be Avenged Sevenfold was the headline, but the lead singer, Shadows.
Yeah.
M. Shadows had some kind of vocal issue. So it was Limp Bizkit, Papa Roach, Van Motionless in White, Bullet for My Valentine, a bunch of heavy metal bands. But it was a pretty good time. I won't lie to you. It was a good time, guys.
Okay.
Well, I know people like Avenged Sevenfold very much.
Sure. And I know that last time Limp Bizkit came, I think they sold out the House of Blues here. And like you watched a video and it looked like it was like 1999. Like, I mean, the place was just exploding, even just in a place at the House of Blues. Like, there's a lot of, like, throwback people who have kind of said, I know that they suck, but I'm going to go see Limp Bizkit anyway.
Yeah, well, that's, I was on the computer a lot this weekend. I have no idea how that got past me.
Yeah, it's worth watching because it's the most pathetic attempt at a karate kick you've ever seen in your life.
It's really funny.
And watching Fred Durst, like, get kind of upset is pretty funny, too. Because, just one guy. And, like, nobody really knows what the hell's going on or what just happened. But some guy's getting dragged off stage. So, I'll pull the audio a little later on. It's worth exploring.
All right. So, my main question is, today, obviously, is a holiday. There was no traffic coming in. It was quite exciting. Is tomorrow Mock Jamelli Cribs?
I don't know if we do it tomorrow. The only reason is that would be two cribs in a row.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if we do it tomorrow, but
is the guy from Machine usable?
Yeah, we could do that. So, I think that Thursday, I think we even like you know can lead up to Thursday. You know, like maybe even do a tease, like a big market tease for Mark Jamelli's version of Cribs, which I am looking for. I haven't looked forward to a bit like this in a long time.
Yeah, Mark, because this was only the third Mark Jamelli bit.
I love meatballs.
Mm-hmm. Fourth. The first time was when we just had him on. We just had him on when he first talked to Nick. And then he called in that one time, remember? Oh, you weren't here for that. He called in one time.
No, okay.
It was awesome. It was just ask Mark Jamelli. And you were here because Mark from Medford called in as well.
Oh, yeah, I was here because that's when St. Anthony's Feast was going on.
Yeah. And then we, of course, went over to his place and then did another interview with him. So
Was that when he raided the meatballs?
That's when he raided the meatballs, yeah.
Okay. Nice flavor.
That's right, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Cribs is interesting. I don't want to see one photo from it. I don't want to see what Mock Jamelli looks like. None of that.
You are a dick, you. Ha!
So I just want an image in my mind of what I think he looks like.
All I know is that Nick went to the like clinic the other day to go get, you know, his heart's still, you know, he's still got to get that thing checked on because he almost died. And when he was in there, this woman who was working there goes, "Excuse me, are you Nick from the Touch and Rich show?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "I love your dad." He's like, "Great. I've been in the industry for like 10 years and nobody cares about me. It's all about my father."
Well, no, when you have a superstar as a father, I mean, sometimes you got to accept that.
Sometimes, I sleep on a recliner.
Like Frank Sinatra Jr. He's never going to have the same cachet.
Somebody sent me a thing, like an alarm that they set on their phone, and it was a screen cap of their home screen, and it said 3 p.m., and it said First Manhattan.
Yeah. 3 p.m. Mock Jamelli's First Manhattan.
So everyone knows that's the time you rock your first one.
My normal is at 3 o'clock, I have my First Manhattan, and at 4 o'clock, I have my second.
I'm serious. I think that we need to soon have a Manhattans and Meatballs big event. I think it needs to be Mark Jamelli hosts the Manhattan and Meatballs Toucher and Rich event.
I won't go to it.
Why?
Because I don't want to meet him.
He's going to ruin. It'll ruin everything.
No, no, it won't. You can't be ruined. Mark Jamelli cannot be ruined.
I just don't want to. I know, and I know it's all sincere and everything, but just in my mind, I don't want to meet him or see the. I don't want to see the recliner.
I love meatballs.
You do,
because I have a picture in my brain.
You do, okay.
And I don't. And I like just. I like the picture right where it is.
You got to put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball.
By the way, I asked my son that question this weekend. I said, "You know what the first ingredient of a meatball is?" He goes, "What?" I went, "Love."
Yeah. And then he looked at you like you had 10 heads.
That's right. He's like, "What?" But goes, "Yeah, I heard a wise man once say that."
The best is Jamelli is constantly talking with a smile on his face.
Oh yeah.
Is this a meatball or a marble? For God's sake!
Even when he's insulting something, you still hear that he's doing it with a smile on his face.
Yeah, a meatball has to be a certain size, or you're just playing around.
I think it was fantastic.
All right, a lot of things happened over the weekend, including. Things involving your Boston Red Sox and a player that might never pitch in the postseason again for anybody. Might never ever pitch in the postseason again. And why would you? The Red Sox in dire straits with in terms of what they have with this guy. So we will discuss that among other things that happened yesterday, including a dominant performance by Mr. Sam Darnold. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Some people never change.
And the 1-1 is swung on and drilled to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's done it again against Price. The Sanchino. Oh, Gary, scary. Home runs in the left center field. Seats over the high monster. His sixth home run out of seven hits against Price. It is a bases-empty home run, and the Yankees take a 2-0 lead.
Say this for David Price. I didn't think people could dislike him anymore in this town than they already did, but boy, was I wrong. Price once again vomits on his shoes in the postseason, allowing three runs and lasting just 1 2/3 innings as the Sox give away home field advantage right there in front of you at Fenway Park on Saturday night. By the end of Price's short night, he allowed 5 base runners while retiring just 5 batters. He also allowed a gargantuan 445-foot blast from Aaron Judge on just the 10th pitch of the night. So where does Saturday sit in the long line of playoff flops for David Price? Well, he entered the night with an 0-8 record and a 5.74 ERA as a starter in the postseason, and now things are just worse ever since Saturday, but that was his shortest outing as a starter in the playoffs. I saw some ridiculous stat. Like, there's something like, in Major League Baseball history, there's 180-something pitchers who have pitched more than 9 games in the postseason, and all of them except for one have won a game.
Yeah.
And that would be David Price.
The other guy is, he was on the Mets.
No. He's the only one, is what I'm saying. He's the only one. Because everyone else who's had at least like 9 games pitched in the postseason has won a game.
After the first 6 or 7 losses, you don't pitch him again.
No.
Right, then it's done. You got to give him the hook.
Why don't you have a seat?
Well, first of all, this other guy. His first pitch of the game bounced in front of the plate.
Yep.
So you knew that, okay.
Yep, it's showtime.
Let's get ready. Get the popcorn.
So he's got the yips, obviously. He can't pitch for you in the playoffs again. He can never start a playoff again.
He can in the bullpen. I mean, you know, you can bring him in the bullpen.
I'm not positive I want to bring him out of the bullpen.
Well, he was good at it last year.
Yeah.
He was good at it, really good at it last year against Houston. That's what kind of got lost.
I don't want to bring him out against the Yankees. And then you have a situation next year where you're paying this guy and he's not going to pitch in the postseason. So what is he?
He's 33.
He's your third starter?
He's got 4 years and $127 million left on his contract if he opts in.
So he's your third starter, and you can't pitch him in the postseason.
Yeah.
So you got to move him.
I don't know how you can.
Because you'll eat a majority of the money. You need to get him out of here.
The majority. I mean, no contender if they have to pay anything for him, is going to take him because they see the same thing the Red Sox do. And he's getting paid too much money for any non-contender to pay for him.
If you eat money, enough money, I'll take him and I'll make him my third starter and I won't pitch him in the postseason.
But the Red Sox aren't going to eat $80 million. It's just not going to happen.
But if they eat enough of a percentage of it, a team might go, hell yeah, I'll take
him. How much of a percentage? $127 million left on his contract if he opts in. How much money are you willing to eat?
How much did they eat on Pablo Sandoval?
Not that much.
How much was it? Because I remember, I mean...
It was a significant amount of money.
It seems to be an extreme amount of money, if I remember correctly.
I mean...
If you're already eating money for Sandoval, why would you double up? That's the other part.
Because he needs to leave.
I agree with you. But I don't see how he can other than he opting out. He should opt out. He can't pitch here anymore, especially from what we saw two nights ago. He's not going to.
$50 million.
Yeah. Is what they ate for Sandoval.
Yeah, they swallowed almost $50 million to get rid of Sandoval.
Okay, they swallowed $50 million. Great. And they're still paying that off. You can't swallow $60 or $70 million worth of price. You can't.
Why not?
First of all, you're still paying off Sandoval. This team, you know, has a semi-unlimited budget, but you can't have $120 million.
Are you going to re-sign Sale?
Yes, you have to.
I'm not re-signing Sale.
All right. You don't re-sign Sale. You get Price off the books. What does that leave you with?
A Dombrowski special where you got to go out and he'll go out and get the highest paid free agents.
The best free agent, as far as I can tell, I think, is Dallas Keuchel.
Okay.
For a free agent pitcher. You're not a contender rid of both Sale and Price. You're not.
Okay, but you're not. You can't win anything with Price. You're not going to win.
They're trapped. Fred, state it again loudly. I agree with you. He shouldn't pitch here ever again. He's clearly not the guy. You can't have him win 16 or 17 games during the regular season and have him consistently throw up on himself at this point in the year. But the Red Sox have painted themselves into the corner where they don't have a choice.
I would say that
Price opts out.
Well, he's not going
to. Because you can't trade
him. He's not. And by the way, he's never pitched well in the postseason. So it's not like if he goes to a smaller market, all of a sudden everything's going to be fine.
The Red Sox made the same mistake Detroit did. They thought, well, you know what? A change of scenery will help him. Same thing Toronto did. A change of scenery will help him.
Those were rentals.
Yeah. Well, he's not a rental here.
No.
And it's cost him dearly. And there's no one in the system that's going to come up and be an impact pitcher in the next 2 or 3 years.
Because Dombrowski got rid of them all.
And budget-wise, you're in a situation now where you have to try and re-sign Chris Sale.
Why?
Why? Because you don't have a replacement for him.
He's old and he's injury history. I'm not touching
him. He's younger than Price. This is how you sell it to yourself. He's younger than Price.
Okay, and he's got incredible arm problems.
Of course he does.
So why would I give him any kind of money?
Because if you don't, you're basically hitting the panic button a year or two ahead of when you thought you'd have to. We agreed this team has maybe a 3-year window of which they're in year two to win a World Series before all these contracts come due, and you have to pay Mookie Betts $30 or $40 million a year. So this is it. You're in year two. You're right in the middle of it.
Well, you have a young nucleus.
Win next year, and then it starts over again.
You have a young nucleus that you can build around.
Yeah, with no pitching.
Right, because that was what Dombrowski did. But Price isn't a pitcher.
He's trapped himself, and this is what you're stuck with. He lost the gamble. He lost the gamble. He gambled Chris Sale would hold up. He gambled that David Price would pitch well.
So they keep Sale and say Sale stays healthy. Then what?
What do you mean? Then what?
Who else is pitching?
Well, you have to hope that Porcello continues to pitch well, and then you are screwed because there's no one in the system.
So what's the difference if you sign Sale or not? You're not going to have any kind of rotation.
I think you'll be better off with Sale than without him.
I don't know about that, because if you're so concerned about budget and dead money, you get Sale.
You can't have $120 million of dead money. You can't.
No, but you would have a team pick up whatever percentage it takes to get rid of them.
I'm saying you've spent $50 million of dead money on Sandoval. You have $127 million left on Price. Suppose you eat half of that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's $110 million of money you're paying the guys to play somewhere else.
Would you rather have Price on the team or off the team?
Off! But I don't see how you can do it. It's not cost effective.
Of course, I know, but Price cannot pitch in the postseason.
Again. for the fourth time. I agree with you, but I don't know how the Red Sox do this.
But John, wouldn't you rather have half the money be dead and him off the books, and you don't owe him $120 million? You owe him half of that.
Of course, what you're saying makes sense, but the Red Sox won't do it. They won't. They're not going to eat half of $127 million after paying Pablo Sandoval all that money to play somewhere else.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
Well, then you have a guy on your team that can't pitch in the postseason.
Correct.
Yes.
That's exactly right. We agree on all of this except the end game.
And there's no question anymore. I mean, after Saturday night's game, the questions are over with, and anyone who thinks that he can otherwise is an idiot. We've got 9 games now, 9-game sample size, and he can't do it no matter the scenario.
Okay, I'll give you an example.
Or where he's pitching.
You have a house that got wrecked by a hurricane, and you can keep the house and the property and try to build the house and cut your loss, and then, you know, put that money into it. Or do you cut your losses and sell the house for half?
You say that the house is wrecked because of the hurricane. You think it's flattened for good. David Price can come back and win 16 or 17 more games to you and get you into the playoffs next year.
And then you'll
fool yourself again before the hurricane comes by and flattens the house again.
You're not doing a very good sell job then.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to sell it. I agree with you. What I'm telling you is
that's the way the Red Sox are
going to look. Yes. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Dave Dombrowski is
going to hold a press
way.
Conference in December and say, you know, we have all the faith in the world. You heard Alex Cora after the game. In game two.
What's he supposed to say?
Well, he could say, you know what, David's working through some problems. We hope to get him ready to appear later on in the series. There are a lot of ways you could go about doing it. But no, Cora came out and said, we have confidence in him.
No, I don't
see how in the world you can have any confidence that David Price can give you anything.
He won't pitch in the postseason for any team again, at least starting.
Here he is afterwards being asked about what the hell happened.
I didn't execute enough pitches, and... And that was that. You know, they make it tough for me. And, you know, knowing that, you know, you have to go out there and execute pitches, you know, in big spots and counts. And, you know, that's something I wasn't able to do tonight.
In December, Red Sox fans are going to be throwing things because Dave Dombrowski is going to extol the virtues of David Price during the regular season and say, we know he's due. We know he'll come around. He's a valuable member of this team. This is after Price opts in and people throw things. Price is going to opt in regardless of what the quality of life issue is here, and everyone's going to get angry. And then Dave Dombrowski is going to hold a press conference saying, you know what, we like the future of our bullpen, and we like David Price as our number two starter, and Red Sox fans are going to throw things all over again.
You know, I'd pay him $50 million to pitch in the regular season. I mean, I would. And then if the Red Sox would eat some money, and by the way, the Red Sox have far more... We're not as big a problem as that, but their whole bullpen situation has gotten terrible, too.
You think?
Yeah, well, it's worse now than it was.
God.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
We got a little more left as far as the fallout from David Price's horrible pitching performance. On top of that, we got a little bit of back and forth between Marcus Smart and J.R. Smith, which might actually end up with J.R. Smith and Marcus Smart possibly being suspended. We'll find out a little bit more about that in just a minute.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Rip.
In the situation we have in the 5-game series, when do you think you could come back to pitch again?
Monday.
.985 the Sports Sub. We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Jeff, go ahead. Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
Yo.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Did any of you see the close-up? I think it was on Twitter of him coming off the mound. The guy is a complete lunatic, tugging at the jersey, tapping himself on the chest, taking his hat off, putting it back on. The boo, it should have been double the amount of boos that were in that crowd. I cannot believe anybody would not boo that guy coming off the mound in that game. And the worst part about it is, I don't know if Larry Lucchino gets a pass or what in this town, but letting Lester go, making that ridiculous offer for $17 million. The guy's like 67 and 35 since he left the Red Sox, and they got this bum instead. I disagree with you, Wallach. They got to do everything they can to get this guy out of town.
I agree with you. There are two different things here. I agree that he can't pitch here anymore. I disagree the Red Sox are going to let him go. I think the Red Sox are going to convince themselves if he opts in to keep him.
How can you do that, though? I mean, you know he can't pitch in the post. There's no question he can't pitch in the postseason.
He'll never start a postseason again for any team.
It sure doesn't seem that way. I mean, who would start him?
Like, I mean, he has the he's Mackie Sasser. I mean, he has the yips.
That's a seriously good reference.
Yeah, he's
that's
Mackie Sasser.
That's a seriously good reference.
He can't. He's Knobloch. He can't do it. Dude, I felt bad for him. The first pitch of the game, I felt bad for him.
He is a guy that thinks way too much about everything. And when they put him in the bullpen against Houston, where he knew he'd only have to come in and pitch an inning, maybe two, and throw about as hard as he can, didn't have to worry about mixing pitches, didn't have to worry about anything. He's perfect as a setup guy. The problem is he's making $217 million. You can't make him a setup guy.
I don't feel bad for him because it's season after season of him being an a-hole, and he hasn't built up any goodwill, and the only thing that could have gotten it back if he continued to run his mouth the way he had, because I guess that's just him, and he needs to do that to pitch well because we've been hearing that all season long. The only thing that he could have gotten to get the goodwill back is to do something in the postseason. He doesn't. So there's
honest
nothing redeeming about this
like,
guy.
I don't
As
think
a Red Sox fan, there's nothing redeeming about this guy.
I don't think there's anything redeeming, and I'm not saying that he's a great person. I'm just saying when he threw that ball 45 feet, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, this guy like mentally can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things. It's something in his brain that will not work.
You know what's going to happen? This series is going to go five games. Yeah, we're going to be at Fenway for game five. Chris Sale is going to throw, you know, 5 1/3, 6 innings. They're going to bring David Price in out of the bullpen, and he's going to pitch a clean 7th and 8th to get the ball to Kimbrel. And the Red Sox have convinced themselves, see, there it is, see? And that'll be the reason when he opts in again next year. See, we like what David Price showed us in the division series. Yeah, he got bombed by Houston in game two or game three of the ALCS, but we know that the playoff success is there. That's what's going to happen. He's going to pitch a 7th and 8th inning of game five, and everyone's going to go, oh, my God, look at him.
Well, they're not winning tonight. So you're in a. I mean, that's not a good pitching matchup. For
right, Eovaldi's been pretty good,
real well against the Yankees.
I understand
especially
that,
especially at the stadium.
But the Yankees have a dominant pitcher.
Well,
Severino's been awful since the All-Star.
Although he did a good job at the wild card game.
He did fine.
Yeah,
but you look at the body of work since July has not been good.
All I know is I'm not sure if any of you saw the video of Aaron Judge seen walking past the Red Sox clubhouse on Saturday night. Did you see this?
Yeah, singing New York, New York.
No, he was blasting.
Yeah.
Oh, you messed up now. How dare you? Boy, people try to get fired up about that. I saw that all over Twitter. It's like, okay, all right, fine. If that's what's going to get y'all your panties in a wad, then great. But Nathan Eovaldi is ready to go for game 3. And as John was saying, I mean, his luck against the luck, his pitching
well.
Against the Yankees have been pretty good. So, I mean, this isn't a dire straight situation.
No.
However, it does suck that you gave away, after having the best season in the history of the Red Sox, you just barfed up home field advantage. Right there. Boom, it's yours.
Take it away.
I'm
not surprised by this. I'm not. I think the Red Sox can go ahead and win tonight and get home field advantage back. I just never thought this series was going to be easy. It's going to be really uncomfortable for everyone watching. As we all expected it would be.
All right, let's go to Shane. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Just wanted to say, if this were in regards to David Price, if this were corporate America, anything like that, you know, the guy would probably be fired, much like Sarge should be.
I'm never ready for that. I'm never ready for it.
To be quite honest, I'd forgotten about it. So
yeah,
that was kind of nice.
Completely.
It's not nice that you're doing that, however, listeners. It was nice that I was surprised. I don't get surprised. Stop doing that.
All right, this is a call about Gary Sanchez. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah. First of all, love you guys. Happen to be a Yankee fan, but all this talk about David Price, you know, makes me think about Gary Sanchez. The guy hits 190 during the season, but I was, you know, talking to my brother. If he hits timely homers in a postseason, you excuse all that, you know, and it's like the opposite with David Price, you know. It's like he could be great in the regular season, but if he doesn't deliver postseason time, it's like he did to me. You know, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
He's like the, you know what he is? He is the one-player version of the Cincinnati Bengals. He just has a every year. It's like, oh, this is going to be the year. This is going to do it. And then the postseason comes and
you spend your entire year waiting for it.
Yep.
and you don't look great. Yeah, then, just talk to me in a couple of months.
He is a walking, talking Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. You think this is going to be the year, and then it's the same thing every year.
The difference
with this
guy is the Red Sox keep changing like managers and
sure.
There's no Marvin Lewis that's been here for a long time.
He is a one man since you just can count on them being awful in the postseason.
Yeah.
And now it's shame on us. I mean, you've heard that phrase a zillion times
before. Severino he hasn't crapped himself.
No, my point was the numbers since the All-Star break have not been good.
I like Severino above Porcello.
Well, Severino, as I said, had that a good outing.
You said that this pitching, the Sox had no chance in this pitching matchup, and my point to you was Eovaldi has not given up an earned run in 16 innings against the Yankees this year, and specifically has pitched well in the ballpark he's pitching in tonight. And Severino, while he did pitch well in the wild card game, if you look at his numbers since the All-Star break, they're not good. He had 19 wins. I only think he had 5 after the All-Star break.
I got to look at the splits.
Go ahead.
Check out the splits. We're breaking down the stats.
I got to look at the splits.
Oh,
okay.
What you got? What you got? Here's Nathan Eovaldi while you're looking it up, by the way, talking about Game 3.
AC had already told me ahead of time, you know, like, prepares if I'm going to start Game 3, but expect Game 4. Just the fact that we've faced the Yankees so many times. I mean, if you're not prepared for them now, I mean, you're in trouble.
Yeah, so he is going to be ready to go. It should be interesting tonight. Alex Cora, once again, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, you heard David Price say that he could be pitching as early as tonight. So we'll see. I mean,
no. That was the thing that worried me more than anything. They interviewed Price, and Price said, yeah, I could pitch Monday.
Okay.
No.
Fair enough. He didn't pitch. Okay, I'll give you this. Severino did not pitch well after the All-Star game, but he didn't pitch a lot.
Yeah, 12 starts. He was hurt for a while.
Yeah, he had 63 innings pitched. So I'll go halfway with you. I'll go halfway with you.
With a 5.57 ERA.
Yeah, but he threw 63 innings.
I know.
So, I mean, he was hurt, so I'm not giving in.
All right. By the way, here was Alex Cora after the game on Saturday talking about the possibility of using David Price in the bullpen for tonight's game.
We'll talk about it. Today, there was some good effort there, you know, Joe and Heater. So we'll see where we're at. You know, we'll talk to them tomorrow, and we'll make decisions accordingly.
Yeah, that's not a no.
Now, truth be told, as I said before, when Price is only counted upon to pitch one inning, he's far better than if you start him. So
yeah.
Maybe Price pitching tonight isn't necessarily a bad thing. Because he'll just come out, he'll throw 97, 98 for about 10 pitches, and then sit down.
Well, listen, I mean, I don't know how you get over a 40-pitch performance.
I know.
Bounce back that quickly.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back, Rich. What do we talk about?
Let's get to this little fight between Marcus Smart and J.R. Smith, shall we?
Oh, whose booty was the eruptor? There was a booty war going on. We'll find out what happened. 985 the Sports Hub. We're touching on Rich. We will talk about the UFC fight.
Oh, and it's not even. I don't even want to talk as much about what happened with the Conor McGregor stuff. But there's a new superstar that I had. Once again, I am a casual fan of the UFC. I watch probably 2 pay-per-views a year. I kind of keep my eye on it, but I'm not one of these mega fans.
Was it Robert Kraft?
Oh, no. Well, we'll talk about that, too. RKK just sitting there, mouth agape, right there in the front. But no, there was something outside of that fight that has become my new obsession. There's a person who fought on Saturday night who I went down the rabbit hole, and he's now one of my favorite athletes just from his post-game press conferences.
I like what happened after the fight a lot, and I think it's real. And
it was awesome, dude.
It was
you
fantastic.
Can't fake anyone who says that's fake is out of their mind. A guy came up and sucker punched Conor McGregor behind, like a hard punch to his head behind him. You can't do that. There were 3 arrests.
They should have that happen more.
Because it's WWE, but
more
in real life.
Watch.
Who cares about the integrity of the sport?
Do you remember when you were a kid and you saw wrestling for the first time before you knew that, you know, it was all works and everything was scripted out? Do you remember that feeling that you had? Like, oh my God, lawlessness. That's what it was like on Saturday night because you knew it was real.
You saw it live.
I watched it live. I bought the fight. And to be honest, it's probably one of the best purchases I've made UFC-wise. Now, Conor McGregor's fight was not anywhere near the best fight. It wasn't even that great of a fight. But the two fights, there were two fights before it that were phenomenal. As a matter of fact, there was one that had one of the single best rounds of fighting I've ever seen. These two guys in the it was the second to last on the card. These two guys were beating the snot out of each other so much, and they were bleeding and smiling while they were doing it, that blood was shooting off of the guy's head while he was beating up a guy on the ground. And while he's getting punched, he's laughing at the other guy. Dude, it was insane. But we have to get to another guy who's, like, later on. As I said, I went down the rabbit hole, and he's now my favorite, one of my favorite post-game press conference guys.
Okay, now ever. I'm excited.
Oh.
Because, okay. So it's outside.
The McGregor stuff was funny and it was great, and that was definitely worth discussing. But I don't even want to spend a 10% of the time we're talking about Saturday night on those guys.
Okay,
because there's more important people to talk about.
All right. Well, I'm feeling having to enjoy that.
Well, speaking of fights,
Rozier Musa's right shoots on the move, very tough shot is good. And underneath, we got Baines tangled up. J.R. Smith shoves him with two hands. Marcus Smart comes to the backside. He wants to go with J.R. Smith right now. Marcus Smart trying to fight through Zizic to get to him. And Cavs coaches coming off the bench. No players have come off the bench yet. Marcus Smart being pulled away and down to the floor by Jason Tatum so he doesn't get into any more trouble.
Wow. Okay, basketball fight, whatever. It's not really a fight. It's what happens afterwards when you have two guys who are gifted in being a-holes.
On social media.
On social media and actually speaking to the press. So as Marcus Smart is being led off the floor, he gets ejected from the game. He flips off J.R. Smith, which obviously you can't do that. And so afterwards, here was Marcus Smart talking about what happened.
You made a gesture as you were going off the first time.
Yeah, to J.R. Smith to meet me in the back.
Okay.
That's what it was, so... Told him to come back to the back, you know what I'm saying? All that on the court, we can handle that off the court. I ain't with that, and that's on my mama. May she rest in peace. Ain't no punk right here. Man, on my mama, may she rest in peace. That shit dead. So, whatever happened, happened. JR know where I'm at. Everybody know where I'm at. It is what it is.
Okay, so J.R. Smith.
Who's clapping in the back? That's annoying the hell out of me.
I think it's him.
is that him?
Is it him doing that, kind of rocking back and forth? And
okay.
Doing the clap? See, I don't know.
But this is the new thing in the NBA is that you know where I'm at.
Yeah, and yeah. Then, you know where I live.
What's he going
to
do?
Well, J.R. Smith had a pretty funny response.
For a guy who wants to be so tough in this situation, he leads the league in flops. You can't flop as much as you do. It didn't be tough. Like, how does that even work? And then, like, you start swinging your teammates. Like, you didn't come to play basketball today. You knew what you didn't want to play. Your coach told you you got to play, and you were frustrated. And then you try to take it out on somebody else. So, but at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lose money over trying to fight Marcus Smart. I'm not going to lose money over my tattoo, so why would I lose it over him? It makes no sense.
I love J.R. Smith. I'm
now,
sorry,
what's to do with his tattoo again?
So he got a giant, the skate company Supreme, the skatewear, yes. A gigantic Supreme tattoo, which I think is on his leg. And the NBA
made him put a sleeve on it.
Made him put a sleeve on it to cover it up, which made me find out from that story. Someone was referencing that I guess Rasheed Wallace got a gigantic Nestle Quick tattoo that he had to cover
up. Of course he did.
Which is amazing because that is something Rasheed Wallace would do.
Rasheed Wallace is one of my favorite players of all time.
Without a doubt, without a doubt, Fred. Tattoo on his
yeah,
Rasheed Wallace.
Like with the way things are now, like yeah, Rasheed Wallace would just be in the showers pounding Bud Light.
Honest to God, I'm surprised he didn't have a Bud Light tattoo on like his bicep.
Yeah, he was just the game's over. I'm going to get a good buzz going.
Well, what's kind of funny out of all of this, J.R. Smith like tweeted, like, you big mad, like a bunch of exclamation points, like obviously mocking Marcus Smart. And then he says, find me out back, find me in the streets, ha, ha, ha. So J.R. Smith is just mocking. I love that. He goes, how can you act like you're a tough guy when you're the world's biggest flopper? You lead the league in flops.
I think it's fantastic that Smart like lives to get in other people's heads. And J.R. Smith, more than any other player on the planet, lives in Marcus Smart's head.
Well, the one thing about Marcus
Smart whatever
is
reason.
I obviously you want someone who's somewhat of a maniac. And it was great because he was waiting for J.R. Smith to do something. And so that's when he got in Aaron Baines' face and pushes Baines out of the way and gets the and basically jumps on in, is that this is going to get him suspended more than likely. I think that he's not going to be out there. They're going to find out today, I think, is the final word as to whether or not he was going to miss the opener. But you know what? As I said, you're for every great play that Marcus Smart's going to make and for every game-saving defensive move that he does during the playoffs, you're going to have him punch a mirror and shatter his hand and be out for 2 weeks. He's one of those guys that does amazing stuff, but because he's crazy, it's going to cost you every once in a while. So something like this, he's going to get suspended at the end of the season, but just you got to take that. That's who Marcus Smart is. And please keep being that way. And J.R. Smith, please keep referencing the booty. Yeah, because I think that he's still kind of going back and forth. I saw a tweet recently because once again I started going back on his Twitter where he was talking about some girl and her booty.
Yeah, which is awesome. He just loves Bud so
much.
He does.
He loves it. He's obsessed.
All right, there will be no commercials here, and then we get behind the curtain of the life that is our own bird.